Well, good morning, church. Yeah, it's so good to be here with you this morning. Thank you. This church has such a special place in my heart. I just driving up this morning and driving into the parking lot, I was getting tearful and just thinking about just what God has been doing here for so long, and he's been so faithful, and the work that God has been doing here has just been amazing. And I'm extremely grateful for this church and this church family and the leadership. I graduated from Hope International University, but my senior year, the leadership here took a chance on me, some kid who had no idea what he was doing, and just said, why don't you come be our youth pastor? So December 1st, 1994 is when I started with the youth ministry here, and I would drive from Fullerton, and I would come up like on a Friday or on a Thursday, and I would stay at Bill and Shirley's Say's house and get to sleep there and get to eat really, really well and eat vanilla ice cream with chocolate mint cookies from Girl Scout cookies. It was great. And then my wife and I graduated in 95, got married in 95, and then just moved up here, lived right off Topanga Canyon. And then we moved just right down the street on Reseda Boulevard and just got to do ministry here for 3 years until of May of 97 that the Lord was leading us back up to the Northwest. So my wife is originally from Portland, Oregon. Just so that you know, side note, it's normally like this in Portland, right? It's misty, it's cold, it's rainy. When I left, it was 80 degrees in Portland, and I was expecting to come down to find more 80 degrees in Southern California, and I've yet not experienced that. So I told Rick, not only are we going to bring a report from the Northwest, but I'm just going to bring the weather of the Northwest down with you as well. So you're welcome. So we've been up there since 97 and did youth ministry there, and then we got to plant a church there in 2003. And then in about 2011, God invited us to take on this role of overseeing a church planting organization. And first and foremost, I just want to give God the glory and the praise for the work that he's just doing. I think about the scripture that Paul says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And you just need to know, if you know any history about this church, that there was a group of leaders here that literally came in and wrapped their arms around me, loved me, discipled me, and walked me into the leader that I get to be today. And I'm extremely grateful not only for that, but this church has also been supporting financially the work that we do with Expand Network. Since 2014, this church has faithfully just been coming alongside us prayerfully and financially. And so thank you. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for supporting us through your prayer and through your finances. Just wanted to give you a brief update on what God has been doing with this ministry, and then we'll move into Luke chapter 11 and just spend some time in the Word and then spend some time in prayer together as well. But we believe that an encounter with Jesus changes everything. There were a group of people in Portland, Oregon in 1956 that had a vision of starting a church planting organization just to reach people in the Portland metro area. And they would come together, they would collect some money, and they would go buy a piece of land, they would build a building like this, and then they would find a pastor, and they would put a Christian church in that city, and they would open up the doors, and people would start coming to the Lord. And in 1956, that was their vision. And then I got to step in 2011, and the organization formerly was known as the Northwest Christian Evangelistic Association. And then when I stepped into it, eventually we changed the name to Expand Northwest because we believe that God was doing something from the Northwest and beyond. And we felt like God was inviting us to move beyond just church planting, but to also encourage pastors, train disciples, and plant churches. Then in 2020, God opened up our eyes, and this we felt from the Lord that he said, are you willing to go into all the nations and use Portland as your Jerusalem ministries? And we just said, whatever you want to do, Lord. So in 2020, We changed our name officially to Expand Northwest, and then God started opening up doors in Uganda for us to be part of some of the work that they were doing in New England and some of the work that God was doing in all throughout the country. And throughout the last few years, God has just literally expanded this ministry. And now we've changed the name one more time because of what God is doing. And so now we're Expand Network, and we have Expand Northwest Region Network. We have an Expand New England ministry, and we have an Expand Uganda ministry. And we just met with someone a few weeks ago that wants to start an Expand New York ministry. And so we're just trying to keep up with what God wants to do. And literally, we believe it's an encounter with Jesus can absolutely change everything. And that's why we get to do what we do. We believe that we get to come alongside and just serve leaders to expand God's kingdom. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation says, "After this I looked up, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes. They were holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" This is our heartbeat. We want to see every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every language have an opportunity to experience the hope, the love, the grace, the mercy that we have through King Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We want to see the gospel go to every nook, cranny of darkness and hopelessness and evil. We just want to see the kingdom of God penetrate it and see people freed from their lifestyle and come to know who Jesus is and experience this incredible love that we have through Jesus Christ. And so our vision is we just want to connect as many people to King Jesus as possible, and we want to connect them to a good gospel-centered, Jesus-focused church. And we don't care what that church looks like, whether the church meets in a building or whether the church meets underneath a tree in Uganda in the middle of a village. We just want people to come to Jesus and be connected to his church family. And we get to do this in three ways. We get to encourage pastors, we get to train disciples, and we get to plant churches and now networks. And I'll just quickly just walk you through some of these things. Right now, 65% of our pastors are reporting feelings of loneliness and isolation. And so when we get to come alongside and just encourage pastors, we get to sit across the table and just pray for them, care for them, and love on them and their spouses and their kids. And over the last year, God has allowed us to help minister to over 50 churches and 100 pastors in both throughout the United States and Uganda, and just to come alongside and to love on them. In addition to encouraging pastors, we get to help train disciples. Statistics tell us that 80% of churches in America are in declining or plateauing. So they're heading down or just staying the same. And we believe that's a discipleship issue. And so one of the things that we've been able to do is come alongside and help start discipleship trainings and help people to become reproducing disciple makers. And over the last year, we've had 381 leaders go through the discipleship journey training just to be able to be trained to live as everyday missionaries. And we're just starting to see a movement take place through that. And then lastly, we start new churches. And 33% of the world's population have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus, according to the Joshua Project. A third of the population of our world never has had the opportunity to hear about the Jesus that we're loving and worshiping and serving right now. And we're just not okay with that. And so we're just asking the Lord, how can we get that message out to as many people as possible? And just in the last year, last 5 years, we've helped plant the Bridge Church. That was 5 years ago. By the way, they've planted three churches since they've birthed 5 years ago. The Bridge Church is in Portland. Generations Church is up in Vancouver, Washington. Kainos PDX Church is in Portland also, and they're a house church movement where they meet in house churches three times a month, and then once a month they come together like this. Restoration Church is a brand new church that we're starting in Northeast Portland this year, and they're just starting to do ministry there. And then we've seen God plant 16 churches in Uganda in the last 5 years. And we just can't keep up with them. I never understand it. I keep going back to Uganda every January, and they're like, come teach us about planting churches. I said, you need to come to the United States and teach us about planting churches. You're the ones that are doing it so quickly, right? So, and then in addition to that, God has also done something that we weren't quite expecting. He's starting new networks now. So the next slide, see that in 1956 is when the actual network started in Portland area. So this is the Zelowski family that's planting the new church this year in Northeast Portland. God is using a 110-year-old church to partner with them, and basically they're just turning over their assets and their building over to this new church so that they can start reaching people for the Lord in that area. So a brand new church and a 110-year-old church coming together, and they've got 4 acres and a massive building, and now they're using it for the kingdom of God again. They just said, we just want to be back in the kingdom game. And so we're just excited about what God is doing with that. In Uganda, we started with 14 churches in 2020, and now there's 35 churches that have gone there. One of the biggest issues in Uganda is biblical training, a lack of biblical training. And so we've been able to partner with a university there, and they are bringing out a team of professors and training our pastors. And last year we graduated 35 pastors through 1 year of biblical training, overview of Old Testament, New Testament, preaching, spiritual warfare, counseling. In addition to that, we're helping them start their own businesses so that in the future they can be self-supporting and start giving back to the ministry. And God's just doing amazing things there. We'll go back to Uganda in January again with the team of people to do ministry there. In New England, I just got back from Springfield, Massachusetts on Palm Sunday. They just celebrated their 2-year birthday. They're about a church of 40 people, and they had 11 baptisms on Palm Sunday. And so we were sitting at a restaurant on Saturday, and one of the guys that was going to get baptized was walking by with a girl that he was talking about his baptism story, and we happened to see them, and so we invited them to come in to lunch. And so we sat down, and we started sharing, and this girl that he was with said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Why are you being baptized, and what does it really mean to follow Jesus? For the next hour, they just started having this conversation. By the end of the hour, this young lady was just like, I need to give my life to Jesus. I wish I was going to be there tomorrow for the baptism service, but I have to work. And I said, well, I was just swimming in the hotel pool this morning, and it's 5 minutes down the street. And she looks at us, she goes, can I do that? And I said, yes, you can. And so a group of us left the restaurant, went to the hotel where we were staying, took over their pool, and then baptized Tatiana on that Saturday. And so God's just doing amazing things through the process and all that. And then we're also working with the small town network and trying to get new church plants in every small town throughout the country as well. And so we're just blown away by what God is doing with this little mustard seed of ministry. And so all of this really is based off of what we believe Jesus is telling us, that the kingdom of God is literally like a mustard seed, and he said, what shall I compare it to? Which someone took and planted in the garden, and it grew and it became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. And so we're seeing God take a seed, and that seed becomes a bush, that bush becomes a tree, the tree has branches, and birds come and perch on it. And we're seeing the kingdom of God literally expanding all over the world. And I just wanted to personally come here this morning and say thank you. Thank you for the seed that you are planting. This church is making a difference literally all around the world right now, seeing pastors encouraged, disciples being trained, and churches and now networks being started so that every single person can have an opportunity to experience King Jesus and get connected to a church. And so thank you for that. We just want to ask that you would continue to pray with us moving forward over the next few years. We're asking God to raise up more churches like Northridge Christian Church. We're asking God to raise up 20 new partnering churches with us in the future and 25 new financial mustard seed partners with us as well. So if you would just pray for us that God would bring us the right churches like Northridge and the right people to continue to do the ministry, we would appreciate it. So you can connect with us. We've got some material on the back there with our newsletters. Continue to pray with us. And again, you've faithfully partnered with us since 2014, and we're so grateful for that. There's information back there, and you can stay connected, whether our website, you can sign up for our email list, or you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook as well. So that's a quick overview. I'm happy to answer more questions after service is over, but thank you for the support, and thank you for the opportunity just to come and just give you an update of all the things that God is doing. It's so much fun. It's like every year is different, and we're like, okay, God, let's go for the ride, and let's see what you want to do this year. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles this morning, would ask you to turn to the Gospel of Luke as we just devote ourselves to a time of prayer. By the way, when Rick told me that that you all do a Sunday once a month that's just focused on prayer, I was so thrilled. So thank you for being a praying church. Luke chapter 11 is what we're going to just walk through very quickly and then move us into a time of actually praying through the Lord's Prayer this morning for our corporate time. So, Father, as we open up your word, we would ask the same as what your disciples asked King Jesus. Lord, would you teach us to pray? And as the Apostle Paul said, devote yourselves to prayer and being watchful and being thankful. Would you continue to teach us to move into a devoted prayer, connecting with you? And we pray for your kingdom to come. Father, I pray this morning what seems to be on my heart through our time of worship and just our time together. God, wherever the battle may be going on within my sisters and brothers' lives and hearts and minds and families in this church, wherever there's a battle that's going on, Father, we want to ask that you would come and have victory. God, that you would take hard stones and change them into springs of water. Would you continue to give us more of your Holy Spirit so that we can be with you, become like you, and do the things that you want us to do? We ask this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. So this is such a beautiful prayer that Jesus models for us in Luke chapter 11. And I'll just read it quickly through for us. Luke says that Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, would you teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples? Isn't it interesting that Jesus was praying and the disciples didn't ask Jesus how to preach? They didn't ask Jesus how to heal. They didn't ask Jesus how to do a good Bible study. What'd they ask him to do? Teach him how to pray. And so Jesus tells him, when you pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Matthew goes into a more extended version of this prayer, but basically known as the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. I grew up in the Catholic Church. I grew up memorizing this prayer, saying it multiple times, but not really understanding the relationship that God is actually inviting us into. And so when he finished, he said to them, now which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. And And he will answer him from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. But I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." And so in this particular passage, Jesus is telling a story or a parable of prayer and saying that there's this person who comes to another friend at midnight and just begs to him, "Hey, I've got someone in need. Would you help me?" And then Luke tells us the person inside says, "Don't bother me. I'm in bed with my wife. My kids are asleep. Leave me alone." And then Luke tells us it's because of the impudence or the shameless audacity that this man would come in the middle of the night and make his request known that he's going to get up and actually answer him and give him what he needs. Now, Jesus is reminding us that the God that you and I serve, our Father in heaven, he is nothing like that person behind that closed door. We will never bother him. We will never interrupt him. In fact, he's complete opposite of that. He's eager to hear from us and willing and ready. But he's also reminding us that we should be like that person with the shameless audacity that would go in the middle of the night going, "Father, this is what I need," or this is what's going on, and so I'm just going to come to you in desperation and make my request known. It's interesting in the Greek that this word impudence, it's only used one time in the New Testament, and it's right here, and it simply means to rudely interrupt someone. So if you have children, if you're a parent, if you have children or grandchildren, and you're in the middle of a conversation, you know, like when kids just love to come up and just rudely interrupt you, they don't really care about the conversation that's going on. They just come up and like, "Daddy, Mommy, Papa, Granny, I need this." And what we tend to do as adults is like, don't interrupt Mom and Dad. We're having a conversation. And what Jesus is saying, come on. Come interrupt the Father. Come have this shameless audacity that no matter what the need is, come and pull and just say, "Father, this is what I need." God's like, that's the type of prayer that I want us to be leaning towards. And so then Jesus says, "Listen, I tell you, ask and what? It's going to be given to you. Seek and you're going to find, and knock and the door will be open to you." He gives us that promise. Then he says, "For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to one who knocks will be open." Jesus saying, listen, there's a promise when we ask our Father for prayer, and he is going to answer us. And then he just asks the question, "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent instead?" When your child comes up and says, "Give me something healthy with protein," instead, here's something that's poisonous or dangerous. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. What good parent is going to do that to their kids? They're not. And then Jesus says, "If you then know that you are evil or selfish and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give what?" What's your scripture say? Give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. So Jesus is saying we can ask for even more of the presence of God in our life, more of the power of God, more of the person of God, more of his counsel and his comfort and then wisdom and guidance. Jesus is like, come on and interrupt the Father. Amen? So Jesus reminds us, God loves it when his people pray. Prayer is an invitation, church. It's not an obligation. It's not like we're going to the dentist to do a root canal. It's an invitation to be with him. Prayer is a way for you and I to build our relationship with God, our Father. Prayer is a two-way road. It's both speaking and listening, right? And then lastly, listen, prayer can take place in a variety of ways, in a variety of places. However God has wired you up to go and talk with the Father, step into that and go do it. I had a chance to move my daughter out of Westmont College and just a couple days ago, and I went and surfed at Rincon Beach, and I just paddled out, and there were no waves, and I didn't care. I just went and just sat in the water and just prayed and just talked to my Father and just shared with him about what was going on. And so there's this invitation, church, that you and I can just come to the Father, however it is that looks for you. I love the challenge that Rick has given to you. Hey, take that once a month time and just come before the Father and just let God love you. So here's what we want to do with our time together. Let's move into a time of practicing the Lord's Prayer together. So let's start with this. Father. Jesus says, when you pray, say this. Father. This is a reminder what the Apostle John says. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that you and I should be called children of God. And that's what we are because of Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection. We are daughters and sons of our Father. He is our Father and he loves us. John also says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Church, we start our prayer time with this, that God is our Father and he loves you. So let's just pause for a minute. Let's just sit in silence and just meditate on that word as we move into our prayer practice this morning. And just meditate on that word, Father, and just maybe ask, what is it that the Father wants to say to you this morning? Let's take a moment of silence. Yeah, before we move on, church, to the next section, is anyone sensing that they're hearing from God this morning as you're sitting in silence, maybe hearing the whisper of the Holy Spirit saying something to you that you're willing to share just briefly? I was sitting with the Lord this morning praying over our time together, reading Psalm 114, and felt like God was saying that he wants to help move hard rocks into springs of water this morning. And I don't know if that has something to do with connection with the battles that we sang about this morning, but that's just something that I sensed I was hearing from God that lined up from his word in Psalm 114. Jesus says, when you pray, Father, then he says, hallowed be thy name. And basically what we're saying here is we're praising God and we're giving thanks for who he is and for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do in the future. Church, do you know that our God is at work right now? That's what he's doing. Psalm 107 says this, oh, give thanks to the Lord. You know why? He's good. His steadfast love endures forever. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. The psalmist is saying, come on, let's praise God. Let's say, hallowed be thy name. So just shortly together, church, let's do that. Like when you think about praising God for who he is or for what he has done or what he is doing, let's do that this morning. What comes to your mind? Praising God for, shout it out. Praising God for his creation. He is the creator of all of that. And it declares his beauty and his glory and his majesty. So good, God. We praise you for that. What else? He's a God that heals in incredible, miraculous ways. Ways that we don't always understand. But God, we praise you that you are the God of healing. Come on. What else? He gives... the giver of life and eternal life. The mission of this church is that everyone would come to know Jesus Christ, experience the abundant life and the eternal life, and Jesus gives it both. So God, we say thank you and we praise you for that. That's good. Someone else said something over here. His sovereignty. Church, you know that God's in control? Isn't that great? I've got four kids. Last one in college, the other ones, and my wife's like, God's got this. His sovereignty. Thank you, God, for being in control. What else? Praise God, hallowed be thy name, for? His loving kindness is everlasting. His loving kindness never stops. No matter what we have done, what we have earned, it doesn't. He will continue to keep extending that loving kindness because that is who he is. So God, we praise you for that loving kindness. So good. What else? He forgives. The wages of sin is death, as Rick was telling us, but the gift of God is eternal life. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and our sins are as gone from the east as from the west. He remembers it no more. I mean, come on, church. That's good news. So God, we praise you today for that forgiveness. What else? His love and respect for persons. Is that what you said, sir? Yeah, yeah, he's just so good. What else? Say again. He anoints us. He unites us. Yes, he brings us back together, not just to believe in God. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I went through the motions, but when I accepted Jesus when I was 15 years old, I was taught about a God that wants to be in a relationship with me, that through Jesus, I'm united with him. He loves me, and he wants a relationship with me. So good. What else, church? Come on, this is fun now. He loves the good and the bad. Amen? He loves it when things are going well and we're doing all right. And you know when those times that we don't always do what we know that we should do? He doesn't give up on us. Still loves us. Never leaves, never forsakes. God doesn't know how to do that. Even though we may experience that abandonment in our life, God will never leave us or forsake us. Ever. So good. One more. He protects. He guides. He leads. He's with us. Gives us that wisdom in that. So we say, Father, we're your children, and we say, hallowed be thy name. We praise you, God, for who you are and for what you're doing. And then Jesus says, your kingdom come, in this next part of the prayer. This is where we're asking for God's kingdom to come here on earth as it would be in heaven. We're not just saying a prayer and going to heaven one day. We're like, God, would you bring your kingdom down to earth today? And we're crying out for a person, or we're crying out for a people group, or we're crying out for a place to experience the kingdom of God with the living, hope and the love of King Jesus. This is what Jesus told us that we're supposed to be about here in this earth, right? To love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to love other people as yourself. All the law, all the prophets, they hang on these two commandments, what Jesus says. And then we're supposed to go into all of the nations. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go and make disciples of nations, baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching people to observe and obey everything that he's commanded us. And he says, surely I'm going to be with you always to the very end of the age. So let's continue in our time of prayer this morning, church. Where do you want to see the kingdom of God come? Just simply fill in this statement as we praise or pray together. Father, I ask for your kingdom to come. Fill in the blank. So, Father, I'm asking for your kingdom to come to continue in my family. Where do you want to see the kingdom of God come right now, church? Lift it up to our Father out loud together. Think of a people. Think of a place. Yeah, go ahead.
To the lost.
So, Father, may your kingdom come to those that are seeking and are hopeless without you right now. So, Father, we're just asking that you would use the United States, that your kingdom would come to be a city on the hill to the world. To the news and to the media. We'll go there first, and then we'll come back there. To the news and media. So God, may your kingdom just penetrate through that hopelessness and evil. May your kingdom come through that. What was the other one? God, would you use us as your people, as your ambassadors, that your kingdom would come literally through us to the places and to the people that you send us right now. What else?
The field of psychiatry
and mental health, and to give wisdom to doctors and nurses and medical fields and psychologists and psychiatrists, and to continue to use that to see the kingdom of God penetrating the world of psychiatry. You all are good at this. Come on. What else? Where do we want to see the kingdom of God come? To heal the diseases, Father. We ask for the sick, for the broken, for the lost, for those that are struggling physically. May your kingdom come. So, Father, would you break our heart now? Would you bring your kingdom in us, through us, and start with our own heart, God? Give us a compassion like Jesus to look at people that are lost, that are like helpless and without, like a sheep without a shepherd. Would you break our hearts for those that don't know you, Jesus? May your kingdom come through our very hearts and hands. Anyone else? So we know that there is an enemy prowling around like a roaring lion that's trying to lead people astray from Jesus being the way and the truth and life. So, Father, may your kingdom come right now for those that are deconstructing their faith. Would you bring them back to you, Father? Anyone else before we move on?
For your grandchildren,
for our children, for our family members. God, may your kingdom come in our families. Would you remind them right now, God, right now, as you're bringing names and faces and people to our minds of kids, grandkids, brothers, sisters, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, cousins, extended family and friends. May your kingdom come, Father, in the name of Jesus. Right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, may they experience your presence, God. Right now, God. Jesus then moves us into this beautiful prayer. Give us each day what? Our daily bread. Not our monthly bread, not our yearly bread, our daily bread. Why daily? Because our Father desires us to be dependent upon Him. It's one of your core values here at this church. Dependence upon God our Father. Our daily bread. This is where you and I are invited to bring our daily needs for ourselves and for others to our Father. It's our bread list, right? And this is what Jesus tells us. I tell you, ask and it's going to be given to you. Seek and you're going to find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks will be opened. Take 1 minute, turn to someone, if you're comfortable with this, and just share with them what's something that you would like to ask for God to just to make your request known for the daily bread. What's something that comes to your mind? If you're comfortable, just turn to someone and just share. Again, I'm sensing this morning something from the Lord, and this could be on or not, but that God, that there might be someone here today that is experiencing a hard rock, and God wants to change that rock into springs of water. Or there's a battle that might be going on, where God just wants to remind us that He is the one that is overseeing that battle. And so I'm just going to take a risk here, and you don't have to share, but does that resonate with anybody that you might just be going through a season right now that it's just a hard rock experience, and you would like God to change that hard rock into a spring of water? Does that resonate? Would you just raise your hand? We're not going to ask you to share. Okay. Great. Would you keep your hands up? Let's just take a moment, church. And would you see those hands? Would you see those hands right now? And would you just silently just lift up our sisters and brothers right now for this daily bread and just ask God to minister to them right now? Thank you, Father, for your promise to minister to each of us, but especially right now, Father, we're crying out to you. We're coming before you on behalf of our sisters and brothers that are just experiencing a hard time, a rock in their life that just needs to be moved or just needs to be broken. We're just asking God that you would literally this morning, by the power of your Holy Spirit, change that hard rock into living water. Streams of water. God, would you remind us that we can drop those rocks off to you this morning? And Jesus, would you take them now? And would you carry them? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then Jesus says, Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And this is simply an invitation that you and I get to bring our true selves before God and confess where we need help in our journey of becoming like Jesus and ask for his power in offering his love and his forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I don't find it easy to become like Jesus. I need his power and help. And this is just an invitation to invite Holy Spirit to say, let's take that part of your life and let's turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord come in and begin to minister to you in that area. John says, if you and I say that we have no sin, then we're actually deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, church, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's just take a moment of silence to sit before the Lord and confess our shortcomings in becoming like Jesus and ask Jesus to continue to lead you and to give forgiveness and power to overcome that. Give you a moment of silence. And lastly, Jesus says in his prayer, lead us not into temptation, church. This is an opportunity that we get to ask God to help us be aware of the enemy and his tactics so that you and I can walk in the power of his Holy Spirit. As we've already stated, there is an enemy. He's coming to steal and to kill and to destroy. 1 Peter 5 tells us this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood all throughout the world, right? We're all on this journey. We're trying to follow Jesus, which means there is a battle that's going on. So Paul tells us, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. God is faithful and will not let you and I be tempted beyond our ability. But with the temptation, church, he's also going to provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So, church, where do you see the battle going on in your life? And just throughout the week, as you recognize that battle, let's practice this week of just acknowledging, God, there's the battle. And there's where I'm being tempted. And here's where I'm asking the power of the Holy Spirit to come in and to lead me away from that temptation. So let's practice that this week because he will give us power to do so. Church, this is why Paul says to the church in Colossae, devote yourselves to prayer. And then be watchful, and then be thankful. Because guess what? When we ask, we're going to receive. When we seek, we're going to find. When we knock, the door is going to be open unto us. And Jesus promises to give us more of his Holy Spirit as we get to do this. So let's devote ourselves to prayer. Let's be watchful, and let's be thankful. And let me end off just simply with this question to ponder silently together in our hearts. What do you sense that you're hearing from God today? And how will you put this into practice this week? Let me add one more. Who are you going to go share this with this week? This is what it means to be disciple makers. It's not just something that God is giving to us to keep to ourselves. It's actually that something God is giving to us today to live out so that we can pass on to other people so that they may come to know who King Jesus is as well. So let's just end with a moment of silence, and then I'll invite the band back up, I think, for a closing song, and we'll continue to worship God. Father, thank you through the death and burial and resurrection of King Jesus that we are your daughters and sons. And I just pray if there's someone here this morning that has not made that declaration, that has not said yes to becoming part of your family, that today would be the day that they say yes. Father, we say hallowed be thy name. You're so good. Your love endures forever. We continue to pray for your kingdom to come here through this church, here in the city of Northridge, here in San Fernando Valley, here in Southern California. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it would be in heaven here on this earth. Father, would you be quick to come and meet the needs that that we have laid before you today, and would you continue to forgive us and give us the power to become more like Jesus. And Father, when we're tempted this week, would you keep us on the straight and narrow? Through your Holy Spirit, would you lead us and redirect us back into being with you? And Father, would you use us now as your hands and as your feet and as your people to be sent from this place to go and expand the kingdom of God for the glory of King Jesus? And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Are we going to sing one more song? Let's stand together and let's worship.